Awesome. Thank you. All right. So I have to be honest. Tonight's message, talk, I don't even know what it's going to turn into. It has been brewing in me for probably about 6 months. And I didn't want to talk about what I'm talking about because for a few reasons, I don't feel qualified. I don't feel like I'm quite there yet. I feel like God's still working in me some of these points that I'm going to make. And so when I began praying about tonight, it wouldn't leave me. And I was like, God, come on, you know, let me work on it a little bit more. Let me perfect it a little bit more before I actually share it. And I just couldn't get away from it. So I just feel like tonight is the night that I'm supposed to share this type of message. The title, if you will, is called The Man Behind the Mask. The Man Behind the Mask. So let's pray. God, I do thank you for this night. God, I thank you for your love that you've shown, even during worship, God, in your grace and your mercy. And I just pray that as the word is spoken, God, that you work through me, take me out of it, and just speak through your servant tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think it was probably about 5 months ago, 4 months ago. I don't know. All the days seem to go together sometimes. We're sitting and we're watching TV, and it's very rare that we're actually watching live TV. How many of you guys DVR stuff and you fast forward through the commercials, you know? And to the point where the other day we were watching World of Dance, which is like my show. Yeah. And Ben's like, fast forward. And I'm like, this is live TV. Like, you can't fast forward. So we were watching live TV and this commercial came on and it really, really struck me. And it was about a woman, and you've probably seen it. And everywhere she went, she had a cardboard face in front of her. And so she would walk around and she would have this face and then she would remove it, but then she would put it back on. And the commercial, yeah, it was about depression and everything, but this image didn't leave me. And I began to think about the masks that we all put on when we go out of our door. And so I began to think about masks more. So you can trace the wearing a mask even back into theater when Shakespeare, you know, began to write theater and they would do dramas on stage and they would actually create masks so that one person can be a multiple characters. And so if I was in a theater play, I could wear one mask being one person, turn around, take off the mask and put on another mask and be something else. And so it allowed somebody to play four or five parts with the different masks that they would wear. And I began to think about that and how many times that we walk into a church service with a certain type of mask. We go home and we put on a different mask. We go to work and we put on a different mask. And then I began to think about different, you know, analogies and everything. I thought about Wizard of Oz. And if you've ever seen Wizard of Oz, Dorothy and her little crew there, they finally are going to meet the wizard, and here they are standing in front of the great and powerful Wizard of Oz. And then Toto goes around and he starts playing, the dog playing with the curtain, and he unveils the man behind the curtain. And the wizard, he sees them noticing this, and he's like, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And they all notice this man behind the curtain was really portraying this Wizard of Oz. And so Dorothy goes up to him and she goes, well, you're not scary at all. And he goes, well, I'm not even a wizard. And I began to think about that. And this whole time they were thinking he was so scary and so great and powerful. And it wasn't even who they were looking for. It was somebody completely different. And we have this need sometimes in life that we have to be something bigger than we are in order to make a difference, and it's just not true. I thought of an analogy of a hospital story of a hospital. And so let's picture a hospital, right? So you in this hospital, you have nurses and doctors, and they've gone to school for many of years, and they know how to handle situations. They know how to heal people, and they know how to put broken bones back together. And if you're bleeding, they know how to fix you. So here they are in the hospital. On the other side, we have a waiting room. And in this waiting room, we have people coming in, and they're broken, and they're hurting, and they're bleeding, and their bones are sticking out. Their heart is hurting. They're going down like flies. But in this hospital, nobody says anything. We can't imagine that, right? Can you imagine just going into a waiting room and you have your knee sticking out of your skin and just going in, sitting in the waiting room like it's normal? Just pretending like everything is okay? See, even Jesus said that it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. And so how can we come into a place of worship and pretend like everything's okay all the time when sometimes it's just not? How can we ever receive God's abundant grace that we need if we are constantly covering up who we are on the inside? We have to get real. For some reason, we have put on this mentality that we're too anointed to be disappointed. We're too blessed to be stressed. We take selfies without revealing our true self. And yeah, there are times where we do need to be reminded that I am blessed even though I'm stressed. I'm anointed even though I'm disappointed. And on Monday morning, those filters on my selfie sure make me feel good. You don't want to see Monday morning selfies either. And all of that makes no sense if we aren't going to be real about how we feel and who we are. I'm getting into it. This is the setup, Micah. Mary Poppins has Mary Poppins Returns. She has a new movie out, which is really good if you're into musicals and Disney and all that. So we went and saw it. And in the new Mary Poppins, there's a song called A Cover Is Not a Book. And the lyrics go like this. A cover is not the book, so open it up and take a look. Because under the covers, one discovers that the king may be a crook. Chapter titles are like signs, and if you read between the lines, you'll find your first impression was mistook. For a cover is nice, but a cover is not a book. A cover is only a small part of the story that is inside. There's a quote that says, we all wear masks, and the time may come when we cannot remove them without removing some of our own skin. I don't want to get to the point where my mask covers me up so bad that when I begin to remove it, it takes a part of me with it. Where the mask seems to be so in tune with who I am that I don't even recognize who I am anymore because this has covered me up for so long. And I preface all that to say that we have to realize a few things in order to help remove the masks that we have in our life. And the first one is we have to realize that we're not perfect. We're not perfect. We try so hard to portray an image that everyone thinks that we should be like. But it's not even everyone. It's what we think everybody thinks that we should look like. So it's not even that everybody else is thinking that. It's that we're thinking that everyone thinks that we should be a certain way. So therefore, I have to act a certain way. I have to be a certain way. I have to do a certain thing. But we're not perfect. Ryan even prayed it. We're imperfect people serving a perfect God. And yes, we inspire to be holy because Jesus is holy, but he's the only perfect one. And what happens is that when we try to be perfect is that we can't make any mistakes. That's the worst thing about being perfect. You can't make any mistakes. And that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself as a human being. Because we're never going to live up to that perfection that we sometimes put on ourselves. We put unrealistic expectations, and then we put them on other people as well. Luke 10, 38 through 42, there's a story of Mary and Martha. And I love this story because I've been both Mary and I've been Martha. Sorry to say I've been Martha more than Mary, but this is the story. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Do you see what happened? I know I've heard it preached many different ways, but this time when I read it, I saw something else. Mary had put unsaid expectations on herself that when Jesus came to her house, everything had to be perfect. The dishes had to be done. The food had to be made. The table had to be set. The floor had to be cleaned. Everything had to be vacuumed. Everything had to be dusted. It all had to be perfect. Why? Because Jesus was in her house. And that's all fine, right? Except she put that expectation on Mary as well. She got mad at Mary because she was feeling this need to be perfect. And so everyone else had to be perfect too. And she said, Jesus, tell her to help me. Tell her she needs to get moving too. She needs to do this because I'm doing this. And Jesus said, Martha, slow down. I'm here now. Spend time with me now. All that stuff can wait. It doesn't have to be perfect just because I'm here. I just want to spend time with you. We can't be so busy in life that what we do exceeds who we are. We can't be so busy that our actions and the things that we're doing is put before who we actually are on the inside. We don't inspire people by being perfect. We inspire them by how we deal with our imperfections. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "And he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me.'" We're not perfect people, but we have God's grace and his power in us that is able to help us to move forward and remove the mask that we have of perfection. Another thing that we have to realize when we remove the mask is it's okay not to be okay. You don't have to have all the answers. So I was talking with one of my students in dance class. And for the past few weeks, she's a senior in high school, so she's 18, and she needs to have her life figured out, right? Yesterday, she's asking for a hall pass to go to the bathroom. Today, she needs to have her whole life figured out. Go figure. So she's coming in, and she's, you know, just stressed out by everything that she has to do and everything that all the people, you know, everyone around her is asking her, where do you want to go? What do you want to be? How are you going to get there? What kind of job are you going to have? Are you going to have a car? And so she's just so overwhelmed. And she came in, and it happens often, you know, she's just crying. And so we're talking through it. And, you know, it gets to the point where I'm like, all right, girl, I got to start class. I'll talk to you later. So then I go home and I start, you know, just scrolling through Facebook. And I saw Chris Ziegler. He actually runs Basic College Ministry. He had posted this on his Facebook, and he wrote, "If you don't have everything in your life figured out, that is okay." I screenshotted it. I sent it to her, and I was like, girl, it's okay. Just one step at a time, one question at a time. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay not to have it all figured out. You're going to get through it. And then I began to think about things like that. Okay, yeah, it is okay not to be okay. How am I going to do that, though? How am I going to be okay in the long run? The first way is I have to be honest with myself. Be honest with yourself. Know where you are. You know, in order to get to where you want to be, you have to first know where you are. So honesty plays a huge part in moving forward. Proverbs 12:22 says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth." So just be honest with yourself. Okay, this is where I am. This is where I want to be, but this is where I am right now. What do I need to do? G.I. Joe, do you guys ever watch G.I. Joe cartoons? My sister and I did. I don't know why we did, but we did. And at the end of the show, G.I. Joe would say, "And knowing is half the battle," right? So you have to know where you are to know where you want to be. When you're honest with where you are, you can get to where you want to be. The second thing is we have to be honest with God. I used to struggle with that one because I was like, I'm always like, you know what? God already knows how I feel. Why do I have to tell him? God already knows what I'm thinking. Why do I have to voice it? He already knows my thoughts and my ways. He knows if I'm going to sit down or stand up, right? Psalm 119, he already knows it. He wrote it in his book. But he wants us to have that relationship with him, that we're able to tell him anything. We can't let the fear of failure or not being perfect affect the intimacy with the one who created us. Psalm 145:18 says, The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. We have to be honest with God. That's all he wants, so that he's able to help us move forward. We have to be honest with him. And then Hebrews 4:16, this is sometimes a hard one, because what we want to do, that it says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Therefore, come boldly. That's a strong word. Because a lot of times, even when I'm going to God, I go like this. I'm like, God, it's all right. You're awesome, God. You're amazing. And while that's true, he is awesome. He is amazing. How can I come boldly before you, God? I have to be honest with him. Because when I go boldly before him, that's when I receive mercy, the scripture says, and I find grace when I need it most. Sheila Walsh says this, truth destroys walls. When you're honest with God, he'll begin to destroy the walls that we've been putting up in our lives. Truth destroys walls. That when we're honest with God and we tell the truth, it will begin to destroy the walls, knock down the walls that we've been putting up around us to almost protect our hearts to move forward. Another thing we have to do is we have to be honest with our crew. I'm not talking about, you know, just going everywhere, feeling your emotions, and that's when, you know, that's when trouble happens. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being honest with the people that are your crew, that are around you to help you. Tell the truth. Be more interested in genuinely connecting with others rather than impressing them. Be genuinely interested in connecting with them rather than impressing them. Ephesians 4:25 says, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. So what does that look like? It looks like this on a Sunday morning. You walk in and you see a friend. I'm talking about your crew. They come up to you. Hey, how you doing? Instead of going, I'm fine. I'm doing good. You know, rocking, rolling, whatnot. What movie? Grease. Okay. So, so instead of doing that, if you're really going through something, this is what being honest with your crew looks like. Honestly, I'm really having a hard week. Can we go get coffee later? Can you meet me down at the altar after service and so we can pray? Because I'm struggling. That's what being honest with your crew looks like. Instead of just doing this like everything's okay, you put it down and you look at your people and you say, I need help right now. I'm not doing okay and I need prayer. Shel Silverstein wrote this poem and it says this. She had blue skin and so did he. He kept it hid, and so did she. They searched for blue their whole life through, then passed right by and never knew. I could preach a whole message just on the size of their masks and walking by each other, but we're just going to stick with they passed right by and never knew. Some of us may be holding up a mask, and somebody else is looking for that something that is behind the mask to help them. How do we know that what we have isn't going to help someone else? But we're never going to know if we don't take off the mask. Another thing that happens when we remove the mask is we have to know that we're not like everyone else. There's a real danger in imitating someone's actions when we haven't even imitated Jesus' heart. What happens is we get counterfeit Christianity. If I look at somebody and I'm always imitating what they're doing, oh, she's doing this. Oh, she's doing this. Oh, she's doing this. Oh, she's doing this. Then I don't really praise Jesus the way that I know how to. I'm just imitating somebody else. We go through the motions without really meaning it. We have to stop trying to live somebody else's life. We have to stop trying to have somebody else's walk with God. We have to have our walk. The Bible says to work out your own salvation. And we have to do it our way, God's way, in us, but, you know, we all have our unique way of doing that. You are not them. Pastor, a couple weeks ago, did an amazing message about comparison. And if this is something that you struggle with, go to the podcast app and listen to that message. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 10:12, it says, "Oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are, but they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as a standard of measurement. How ignorant. Don't compare your life to somebody else's life. Walk your journey and walk it well." And lastly, when you face the man behind the mask, you have to realize that you are a masterpiece in the making. When you face your true self, it can sometimes be overwhelming. When you take off the mask, you might not like what you see right away. You're not the only one. You know, there's things in our lives that we all want to change. But we have to know that we're a masterpiece in the making. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he has planned for us long ago." Masterpieces take time. They take time. And that's okay. We will have good days and we will have bad days. And God says this, and I hold on to this scripture every day. Philippians 1:6 says, "I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it." He's not done with you yet. So when you take off this mask and you see a piece of work, you are. But not in a bad way. Not in a bad way. You're a masterpiece. He's going to finish what he started in you. Let's take off our masks and be real. We're not perfect. That's okay. It's okay not to be okay. You're not meant to be like everyone else. You are a masterpiece in the making. Let's unmask who God is telling us to be. When we walk in here, we don't always have to walk in like this. If you're feeling like that, then that's awesome. The Bible says to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, but mourn with those who are mourning. That means we walk through and we navigate life through the ups and the downs, through the highs and the lows. But the only way that we can do that to be a healthy version of who we are is if we take this and we lay it down at the altar. We take off every mask that we have and we put it down before him and say, "God, I want to be real. I want to be who you've created me to be. I don't want to keep covering up the imperfections, the things that I feel all the time. I don't want to have to feel like everything has to be perfect all the time, like I'm actually okay. I want to be real. I want to be real with the people around me. I want to be real with my crew." When you're the healthy version of you, God can use you in the ways that he has created you to be. And I pray this over you. 3 John 2:2 says, "I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Lay down your mask today and get real with God. He has so much more for you when you're able to take it off and say, "This is me. Use me and work over me." Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you're a God that allows us to be who we are. That you're a God that allows us to take off our mask and just get honest with you. I thank you, God, that you've put us in a place where we can walk through life together. We can navigate the ups and the downs. Help us to find our people. Help us to be honest with our people, God, that you have placed in our lives. And above all else, God, that when we're real, that we take off the mask, that our soul prospers, God, and that we're able to help others that are going through something. And I thank you for everyone here tonight, God, that they'll know that it's okay. It's okay to be real and honest with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Give Pastor Aaron a hand. That's something, isn't it? You know, this season, is all about taking the mask off. I think it's a perfect lead-in to these weeks of Lent and Palm Sunday, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He makes a way for us to take the mask off. You know, when I was immediately when you started talking about mask, I began to think about imitating. And some imitation isn't bad. We got to make sure we're imitating the right things. I heard this in a class. It's interesting that that our kids imitate us. Everything we do, everything we say, the way we act, the way we even talk, our voice inflections, everything we do, our kids, they pick up. To Aaron's point, the mask that we put on, our kids end up wearing the same mask, kind of like we were talking earlier. And I think that's so important to realize through this season, that God makes a way. He creates purity within us that we don't have, that we can't attain, that we didn't see as children, maybe. We didn't see from our grandparents. We didn't see from our dad or our mom. But He gives us that perfect image to follow after. I just want to encourage you. I felt this so strong in my spirit. People feel like they have to be perfect to crack the door of a church. They feel like they feel the pressure to, hey, I got to put this thing on, because if I go in there the way I really am, it'll fall in. The walls will fall in. What a perfect lead-in for me next week. I can't even explain it to you. Encourage some people. Last night we had a men's Bible study, and I'm going to tell you something. If the guys that were there, and if you weren't there, it was off the chain, because people came. There was no mask last night. It was a free for all, and I love that. I love the messiness. I come in with all your mess. I want to encourage you. These next few weeks, these Monday nights, I'll circle back around. These Monday nights. Profound times of healing, profound times of ministry. Tuesday nights, you got women's Bible study on Monday nights. Tuesday nights at St. Anthony. You want to talk about mask and come out on a Tuesday night. I heard this statement, you can't be healed if you can't get real. Let's get real together, amen. Let's welcome some people that are just messed up. Will you commit to that during this season? Will you bring some people to church? I don't know if I can say this, but my dad will holler at me later if I can't say it. We don't want a bunch of transplant Christians. We have no interest in yanking Christians out of other churches. What we want is we want messed up people, sinners, like you and I, to find the gospel, the blood of Jesus, especially during this season. I think are there some of them cards in the back? Get some of them cards and encourage people. You know, when you hand somebody a card, hey, I just want you to know, you can come in jeans and a t-shirt. Listen, I know what you got going on, and there's a bunch of people just like you there. Will you come with me? Do that this season. Will you do that? Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you that you've sent your servant, even in a moment of vulnerability, to minister to our spirits tonight, to minister to our hearts tonight. We just want to say that we're thankful for that. We're thankful for her obedience tonight. We're thankful for her family. We're thankful for the heart of a servant. We're thankful for a pastor that's accepting and continue to use her greatly, Lord. Lay your hand on her. Lay your hand on her, on Kai. Lay your hand on Addison during this next season. Father, we just thank you for your people tonight coming out, committing their time to you tonight. I pray that, Father, you'd give us uncommon favor during this season. to bring people to your salvation, to bring people to the kingdom of God. We just thank you for that uncommon favor. We ask you even for 100 salvations in these next few weeks, Father. Groves of people cracking heaven's door because of the services that are held here. We thank you for it. Thank you for your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love you guys, and we will see you Sunday. Amen. Amen.